Over 200 years ago, when the Hasidic movement became more and more established, by the third generation of the Hasidic movement, they realized that they need to print the Hasidic teachings. It has to become, it has to come down to writing. Like the book of the Tanya, it was not printed yet, and it was very few print shops to begin with. 200 years ago in Russia, was very few print shops. Over 230 years ago. And 4 years ago. And then, even the war, they were not in Hebrew writings. And the Hebrew, the Jewish print shops were even less. And even them, they were not so hot about printing Hasidic teachings, because the Hasidic movement was something new, and many people were opposing it. The opponent of the Hasidic... That one great Hasidic macher decided, rabbi, he decided, he said, it's time to build our own print shop and we'll be able to print books, and finished. His name was Moshe Shapira, Rabbi Moshe Shapira. He was a son of a great Hasidic leader, and he decided he's going to do it. Once and for all, we're going to do it. Before he's going to print, to go ahead with this project, he decided he's going to ask the opinion and the advice and the blessing of the Reb Shneur Zalman of Liadi, the first Chabad Rebbe. He wasn't a Chabad Chosid, but he knew when it comes to real serious business, the Alter Rebbe, he will be the right address. He went to him and he talked to him. He said, it's a very good idea. He said, but I'm worried with the permits. The permits will cost, the Tsar should give a permit for a Jewish print shop, and it's going to cost a lot of money. What are you going to do? The Alter Rebbe told him like this. Go to Mogilov it's called. There is a teacher, a Melamed. His name is Israel, Reb Israel. Take him, go with him to Vilna. You'll get the permits, and you'll not even have to pay a penny for it. Shine said goodbye, and he walked out. He walks out, he starts to think again, what? Going to Mo'ilov, finding a teacher, a Melamed is a teacher for little children. He is going to help me to get the permits in Vilna. To get the permits, you have to go to St. Petersburg, not to Vilna. What has Vilna to do with permits? The whole thing didn't make sense. But as a Chosid, he knew one thing. If a Rebbe says something, you better follow up to the end, and it's going to work out. He's traveling to Mo'ilov, comes into the city, he's looking for a teacher, his name is Israel, there's no last name, he doesn't. I'm a Lamed, Israel. They looked, no, we didn't let go. They found him. Here is a guy, like half retired, he's teaching a little bit in his shul, his kids, students have come to listen to him, half a day or something, and then he learns by himself. Comes to him, he tells him the story, the Alter Rebbe, the Rebbe sent me to you, the Shneur Zalman, yeah, he sent me to you, you should come with me to Vilna to open, to get permits. The guy didn't speak Russian. He looks up at me and says, are you came to make fun of me? I will get you permits for a print shop? for printing, for establishing a print shop to print books? At that time, it was one of the hardest things to accomplish. It was the newest thing, prints, right, to print books. And there was a censor, and the government was on top of it, which bookshop, very few, there were maybe a few print shops in all of Russia. He said, forget about it. I don't know what you're even talking about. He tells him, yeah. He says, you want my money? He laughs. He says, you want my money? The guy had no money. No. Says, I don't want your money. The Rebbe told me that you are going with me to Vilna, and we're going to get the permits. I don't know how, but that's what the Rebbe says. He said, no, but you know, people start to tell him, the Shneur Zalman of Liadi is such a righteous man, so no. They tell you, go, just go, what you can lose? He's paying for you the tickets, he'll take care of your family, what's the problem? Go. You know, the nudge enough, he went. They arrived to Vilna. In Vilna, it was a Chosid, he was like the head of the federation, the head of the community. He was a Chosid, his name was Reb Meir Refoels. Reb Meir was a very capable man, had good connections with the government, very, he was a Chosid of the Alter Rebbe. Here the Rebbe Shapira with his Rebbe Sol came to the town by the order of the Alter Rebbe to find, sure, he led him into his house. But he told him, I tell you the truth, I don't know what to tell you. I have a lot of connections, but I don't know anybody who is in charge of the printing. I don't know any. I just don't know what to tell you. Stay here, and maybe Hashem will help us. They came here on a Wednesday, the other Thursday, Friday, and comes Shabbos. The teacher, the Melamed, gets all frustrated. Why I left my family? What a stupid move. What a crazy idea. They drive dreams that they're going to find. It just doesn't make sense. And they're sitting in the house, they don't even know what they're waiting for. It's not like they're waiting to meet with somebody or in a week from now. They're just sitting. They're in Vilna. Shabbos afternoon, Reb Meir, the host, saw our guests, and especially this guy from Boilov, the teacher, is depressed and angry and complaining. He says, you know what, let's go for a walk. Just to cheer him up a little bit. They go out to the edge of the city. There's a nice park there. They walk there. From the other side is coming a very high official, you know, with guys with the uniform and all the medals on his chest. It's the way he used to do in the olden days. He's walking seriously. He's walking a tall man. As he passed by, he looks on this tree. He looks, and especially he looks strong on this Israel, on this teacher. He looks very strong and he moves on. They walked. By the end of the walk, they decided to go back home. They're going by the way back home. They pass him again. And he looks again very strong on this Israel. The mayor, the guy from Vilna, was a chevreman. He was a guy, a big macher. He knew, he had connections. He turns to him and says, sir, you're looking very seriously, very strong on this man. Can we help you, son? Can we help you? Is there something that you're looking for? He says, yeah, actually, yes. I know him. Reb Meir translates to Yiddish the conversation. He says, this sir, this minister says he knows you. He says, knows me? How can I meet a person from a little shtetl in Moilov? He knows, if a Moilov knows, who speaks only Yiddish, knows this minister. Impossible. He tells him, you're from Shiklov, right? The Russian minister tells him, you're from Shiklov? He says, no, I live in Mogilov. He says, you're from Shiklov. He tells him, yeah, 20 years ago, I used to live in Shiklov. He says, oh, I'm so glad I met you. He takes out an invitation of like a business card type of thing, gives him his address. He says, I'm standing in a hotel. Please come tomorrow, I want to talk to you. They go home, they're waiting for tomorrow. The next day, the delegation is going to the hotel to meet the minister who says that he knows Israel from somewhere. They sat down, they talked. This time they met, he was not with his old uniform, he was regular clothing. He started to talk to them in regular Yiddish, beautiful Yiddish. He's a Jew who grew up in Shiklov. And he started to tell the Israel the story. You know how I know you? How I know you? You remember a very wild boy running around on the streets of Shiklov, wild, making troubles, getting everybody angry. And then he remembers the story. One day a few zealots in the city caught this boy, beat him up, and then tied him up to a beam next to the synagogue. That everybody should see, here is the bad boy, should spit at them and do things like this. And he was standing there, tied up like this, a boy maybe 15. And the embarrassment, it was unbearable. And this Israel came and untied his ties and let him go. Says, I run away, I gave up on my Jewish religion. And he became a very high minister in the Tsar's government. He says, but forever and ever, it's because of you that I am who I am. I believed in myself and I run away and I changed my life completely. And now, first of all, I want to take care of you. He tells him, I want to give you a monthly stipend. But tell me, why you're here? He tells him, you know, this guy who stands next to me, they told him the whole story. He wants to open a print shop. And then he went to the Alter Rebbe. He's a Jew. He knows the whole story. He knows the names and everything. He tells them, I'm in charge of it. Not only this, if you would go to St. Petersburg, I would be away and the stamps are with me. On the spot, he gave him the permits to open the print shop in Slavita. And it was a very famous print shop. The Tanya was actually printed first time in Slavita in this press. It was all because the Alter Rebbe told him to go there. And because he saved the boy from embarrassment many years later. Thousands and thousands of books were printed in Judaism, Talmud, Hasidic, Bibles, everything was printed in the printer of Slavita because of his permission, because of this boy, that somebody had Rachmonas on him and was nice to him. The parsha of this week is called Truma. Truma means contributions, donations. God tells Moses, take from me a donation, make a fundraiser of what? Gold, silver, copper, acacia wood. Gives him a whole list, 15 things. And you should collect it, and everybody should give a donation. People should give as much as they want. Then by the end of it, he tells them, for what? Why I need the donations? I want you guys to build me a temple, a sanctuary, and I will dwell among you. Fine. Then comes the next order. Build me an ark. You should make it from acacia wood. It should be 2.5 cubits long, whatever, all that measurement. And make it from gold, make it wood in the middle, and gold from outside, and cover with gold from inside, and make two poles to it. Everything, all the details. By the end of all the details, Torah says, why? God says, why I need an ark? To put the two tablets inside. Then the Torah continues, build me a table. And it goes with long details, how to make the table and what and when and how. And by the end of this paragraph, why I need a table? Because I want you to put the showbreads for me in the temple. So on goes on with the menorah. First God tells them what to do. Then he tells them why. Mm-hmm. Now, naturally, when you want to build a building, a house, you come to somebody who tells him, you know, I want you to, let's say you want to make a fundraiser to build a building. Sure, a synagogue wants to make a fundraiser, institution. They come to the people, say, we want to build this and this building. It's going to cost $7 million or $3 million or $2 million. And now let's start a fundraiser. You don't come and you say, you know, guys, I want you to give me money. I need $3 million. You give me gold, silver. Whatever. And then by then, oh, you know why? I want to build a temple. Wouldn't it be appropriate for God first to say, I hear Moses, build me a temple. I want to dwell among you. And for this, you need to make a fundraiser. Gold, silver, copper, skin of animals, and so on and on and on. Why is the opposite? Why is the reversed way? First, God tells them all the details. Then by the end line, he tells them, oh, I want you to build them. So in the beginning, he was like, I would hear from God. Build me, give me this and this. Why? What do you need it for? This is God's style. You know where it started? Last week's Parsha. By the end of Parshat Mishpatim, the Torah is going back to the story of Mount Sinai. And the famous line the Jewish people know, that when God asked them, would you receive the Torah? What the Jewish people answered? Na'aseh ve'nishma. We will do, and then we will listen. Then the Jew says, we are going to do, we don't need explanations, we don't need to know why. God says, we are doing. And then since then, the first order of action that took place in the desert after Mount Sinai. God gave them many orders about slaves, as we learn. But actually, what I want you to do was the temple. Then God doesn't tell them, I want you to build a temple. God says, now, seven nishma, right? We will do it, and then we'll understand why. I need gold, silver, copper, this. Oh, for what? Oh, I decided to tell you. You should build me a temple. But first, what you need to do, then the why. And the whole parsha is going in this order. First what to do, and then why. What to do? I need an ark. What do you need an ark for? I'm going to give you two tablets. I need an ark. Build me an ark. No. I need an ark. Oh, you know why? And this is God's way of doing things. We see it also in the story of the Megillah. Purim is coming up, right? Esther was taken to the king. Esther was a Jewish girl. from a nice Jewish home. It wasn't a beauty contest like many people think, and everybody sent his daughters to go to the king. Esther did not want, the way it's written in the Megillah, a few times, Vatilakach Esther, she was taken. She didn't go. She was taken by force. Basically, she had no choice. She was taken and said, you're coming with us. You know, Mordechai, your uncle, you know what he was thinking? The Midrash says, he was thinking to himself, what's going on here? Why should a Jewish girl be taken to a king who was not the biggest chochem in town and he was drunk most of the day? All the stories about the king is when he made a feast, he made a wine meeting.
Yeah.
And every time, when the king was well drunk, he wanted to bring Vashti. What's the story, Vashti?
Right, and she said, no way.
No way, but right. He was drunk.
Right.
And how many days was the party? 180 days. Here, after 3 hours, people say, I have to go, I'm tired. Right. 180 days, a party of, now, like in Brazil, they have this carnival.
Oh, carnival, yeah.
How long is the carnival? A month, no?
Something like that, yeah.
That's nothing. 6 months, 180 days. And then why should a Jewish girl go to a place that she cannot eat kosher? She said she's vegetarian. She cannot keep Shabbos.
She
was eating only this kind of stuff, like nuts and things like this. She survived on this. And she, out she knew when Shabbos is, there is no Shabbos there. That she had 7 maidservants, she gave them each name, by the name she knew which day is the top of the week. And when it comes to 7 days, she knew it's Shabbos today. She changed them every day, was another maidservant. She was a queen, she can get whatever she wants. Why? Then years passed, and Haman came to power. And then Mordechai said, and then he made a decree to annihilate the old Jewish people. Then Mordechai sends Esther to go to the king. She says, the king didn't call me for 30 days, I cannot go. Mordechai tells her, go. Who knows if not for this, you became the queen. Basically, Mordechai tells her, now I know. Now I know why God forced you to go to the king. It was all orchestrated for this moment to save the Jewish people. And she actually saved the Jewish people. Then we see the way God is doing things. Tells you go to Vilna. You don't know why. You don't know what. Eventually it works out. Build me a temple. I don't know why. I don't know what. Just do it. The same thing is in the story of the Megillah. Nobody knows why. Why God is doing it this way? That's the question. In every couple, you know, sometimes your spouse is asking you things to do that completely don't make sense. Sometimes, not often, but sometimes.
Very rarely.
And then you tell her, but it doesn't make sense. She tells you, do it for me. And when you go around, your friend asks you, why are you doing such a crazy thing? That's what she asked me. I do it. She asked me, I love her, I do it. You know, when you do something for your spouse, it doesn't make sense. That's strengthening the relationship. It makes you do it for her, you do it for because you love her. Or she's doing it because of you. So if you do something because it's the right thing to do, because it makes sense, you don't do it for her, it makes sense. You clean the house, you take out the garbage, yeah, maybe she should. But you know why? That makes sense. But you do a crazy something just because she wants it. If it's, let's say, Corona Rwanda craziness, just because she wants, then you do it. Or she asks, or you ask her to do something crazy and she's doing it because only for you. You're changing you. That shows love. That strengthens the love. And the relationship between God and Jewish people is also the same thing. If I honor my parents, I do it because God said so. But it makes sense. I actually want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. I enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
It's morally, it's on every level. To say that strengthens my connection with God when I honor my parents, I have to think about that to remember that God is the one who told me. But when I eat kosher only, I refrain from not kosher food. That doesn't make sense. Why not milk and meat? Somebody asked me this week. Ultimately, after all the explanations.
It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense. Because God said so. Then there is, why I do it? Because I love God. Because God asked me that this strengthens my relationship with God. And I do a breeze. Why should I do a breeze? That's what God wants. God wants us, when we do something, it shouldn't become, oh, you want a building, I'll give you gold. Yeah, sure. If I ask you, give me gold. If I ask you,
right.
Do it for me.
Right.
Ask you silver. Do it for me.
Right.
If I make a person to go to the queen, to the king, trust me. Trust me on it. If a tzaddik tells you to go to Vilna, trust him on it. This trust creates the blessing. You understand? Brings it about. And then there is measure for measure. When I do something for God, even if it doesn't make sense, God also is doing something for me, even if it doesn't make sense. God says, you don't need it. I want a Ferrari. You don't need it. Well, God, give it to me. You did something for me, even if it didn't make sense for you. I will do something for you if it doesn't make sense.